Can you stay standing and give Jesus a hand clap for me? Come on, y'all. Let's give Jesus a hand clap. We're not here for me. We're here to glorify one. Amen? I just want to thank Andrew and Jamie Womack for just allowing me to be on this stage. I do not take this lightly, being up here. And Daniel, you and Miss Tracy, you all, Daniel has been such a mentor to me. I've been in your seats before. I've actually been behind the camera 7 years ago, which I will share a bit today. But what I want to do is make sure that I'm just putting you all in a position where you're not coming here to receive, but that you're going to manifest something today. I do not want to be here today and you sit here and watch me win while you're sitting on the bench and losing. This is not about me. It's about you. I am here for you today. So I believe I'm going to bless you. I'm convinced that we're going to have minds renewed. We're going to see bodies healed. But we're going to have to reject tradition and return to truth. And the truth that I want to share with you today, that I want to impart, is something that I learned in my own personal journey. Where you all, it was 7 years ago where I was preparing for the birth of my son, but the enemy was on the other side plotting my destruction. And so this is something, you all, I'm fueled, as Daniel said, with passion. And I, like I said, I'm fully convinced that you're not going to walk out of here the same. And you should expect that. You should not expect to come in here the same, to leave the same way that you came in. Amen? And so this is something, you all, as I said, my husband, babe, can you stand up again and just give everybody a big, big wave again? I just want to glorify my husband, you all, because he was so intricate in this journey with our family. But what I want you all to know is that I've been in your seats. And if some of you are considering quitting, I've been there. If you are exhausted behind pain medication, some of you online, you're probably sitting there, you just returned from a bad MRI or X-ray report. I am telling you right now that I have been in your seat, that I've been in a position where I've wanted to quit, where I've wanted to give up, possibly throw in the towel. But I want to tell you all something right now, that if you're considering even throwing in the towel, God's going to throw that towel right back at you until you wipe your face with it, because the same truths that worked for me, they'll work for you. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 6, and I believe it's Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, the scriptures say that God does not show favoritism. So if Daniel can come out of a den, John can come out of boiling water, and Lazarus can walk out of a tomb, the believer can come out of autism, the believer can walk out of a wheelchair, the believer can come out of the hospital, but we're going to have to lay some foundational groundwork today. And I believe I'm in a good place where I don't have to tiptoe around truth. Amen? Amen. And so this is powerful, you all, when you really unpack this message that I want to share. But when you look at Jesus, he came with a specific message. He came with a message of freedom. And I believe, even as I speak, I believe Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that says that the word of God is alive and active. So as I speak, I'm expecting symptoms to cease. I'm expecting surgeries to be canceled. And some of you are probably sitting there, how can you be so confident in that? Jesus was confident in his message whenever he stepped on the scene in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at bay liberty those that are bruised." Jesus did not come with a message that he wasn't confident in, and neither am I. I am here today, and I'm fully convinced. I'm telling you this all for a reason. I am not preaching doctrine or theology today. I'm preaching from the trenches of victories. I've been where you are, and I've sat behind that camera, as I said. And so I want to make sure that we welcome Holy Spirit today. Can we do that? I believe a lot of times when we come here, you all, we become conditioned to the culture of this environment. We want to wait for the lights to get dim, the prayer ministers to be called forth, and for the music to sound, in order for you to manifest what the Father has provided. If you study out the Gospels, there were people that were willing to interrupt services. There were people that were willing to interrupt Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, she crawled to touch the hem of his garment by interrupting Jesus on his way to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. Blind Bartimaeus was able to shout to get Jesus' attention. He didn't care who else was passing by. Can I tell you today that you do not have to wait to the end of the service to act on the word of God? James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, don't simply be a hearer, but a doer also. And I'm telling you all right now, sometimes we, and I love notes, I am a note taker, but sometimes we got to put that pen down. We got to put the paper down. Listen, knowledge is not power unless it's applied. How much more knowledge do you need to trust your Father's word? I'm saying this for a reason. As I said, I'm going to get into my own personal testimony, but I want to set the stage right here for you all, that we're going to welcome Holy Spirit into this. You are not interrupting the service. You're actually receiving an invitation from the Holy Spirit on what he's already provided. It is not an interruption, you all. He wants to move freely. So you are going to have to make a decision today. You're either going to panic or pivot. You're going to rise or remain. But I know in my own personal testimony, I had to make a decision that I looked at my 2-year-old daughter and my 2-month-old son. I was not going to allow my condition to become my conclusion. And you should not either. As I said, don't sit here and listen to me and watch me win while you sit on the sideline on the bench and lose. The Father doesn't want that. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you all, listen to the Holy Spirit today. And as I said, I'm not going to tiptoe around truth. I believe that I'm in an environment where you could take this. But I'm going to say a very radical statement right now. Y'all ready?
Yep, we're ready.
Healing disciples, y'all ready?
Yes.
I knew y'all were in the building. Jesus did not come. Jesus did not come to present healing as the goal. He came to establish health as the standard. Healing is not God's will. Listen to me. I'll say it again. Healing is not God's will. Healing is the doorway to the destination of his will, which is health. If healing was his will, then sickness would also have to be his will. I'll prove this to you in scriptures. I know where I'm at. I can't get away without saying something and proving it. 3 John 2. He says, "Beloved, above all, I pray that you may prosper and be healed." And be in health. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Jesus is declaring that heaven's currency become the believer's reality. He says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Is there healing taking place in heaven? It's permanent health. So I'm coming today, as I said, with a message where we're going to have to reject tradition and we're going to turn to truth, okay? Amen. Praise God. Well, just to get into my own personal testimony for a bit, because a lot of you have been asking, what happened to you? You all, brothers and sisters, 7 years ago, as I said, while I was preparing for the birth of my son, I was 7 months pregnant. I woke up from a nap, and I was completely dizzy. My vision was impaired. I became deaf on the right side of my ear, and I immediately rushed to the hospital. Once I got to the hospital, the doctor said, "Your blood pressure is 250. We need to admit you into the hospital and place you into a wheelchair." So for 3 months, I remained in the hospital. I was in a wheelchair. I gave birth to my son, who came out 100% healthy. Can we glorify God for that? Praise God. My son came out 100% healthy, but I stayed in the hospital for 3 months. Once I delivered my son, the doctor said, "This has to be accredited to pregnancy, but we can't do anything else for you. We need to send you home." How many of you have been in a situation where you have symptoms attacking your body and the doctor has said, "We can't do anything else for you"? Dear God. So that's the position I was in. I went home. I was discharged from the hospital with a 2-year-old daughter, a 1-month-old son. And then I get home and my husband and I get on this journey of trying to figure out what was wrong with me. You see, I was caught up in religion. I grew up Catholic, and I thought that the Father had did this to me. I'll jump into that in a bit. And so my husband and I saw over 50 specialists. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, lupus, fibromyalgia, whatever it is that you can think of, I was diagnosed with it. Months went by, maybe close to 5 months went by, and ultimately the doctors discovered that this was called occipital neuralgia, which is where the nerves in the back of your shoulders, your neck, and head have become squeezed and compressed with inflammation. This, you all, upon the recommendations of the doctors, they asked that I now have surgery. And so, AVL, could you just play? So I went into surgery, you all, this is powerful. I went into surgery having the back of my head shaved, all of my hair cut off, for them to remove the inflammation from my nervous system. Which they said, "Nerissa, the moment you wake up, you're going to feel a lot better." Brothers and sisters, once I woke up from this surgery, my vision was worse. I was told that I could go blind. I was completely deaf, as I said, on the right ear, even worse. My nervous system throughout my entire body was being squeezed. So I slept, you all, in a beanbag chair, upright, for close to a year. I could not comb my own hair because my nerves were so tight that any type of pressure on my body would cause excruciating pain. I could not sleep in the same room as my husband. I ended up moving my whole life into our game room, which had no windows. It was completely dark. If I did go outside, I had to wear sunglasses. The worst part of this is that I was unable to pick up my son for the entire first year of his life. I could not lift him out of his car seat. I could not lift him out of a crib. I could not even change his diaper. So my husband, the reason that I had him stand up is because he was playing mom and dad you all the whole time. The whole first year of my son's life, I was sitting here in so much pain that I got to the point that I wanted to commit suicide. I went from zero medications a day, from being a Division I soccer player in college, to now I'm on 13 medications a day, desiring to commit suicide. AVL, if you could show, my life, you all, went from one moment to the next. It was one moment, it was great, celebrating the birth of my son, to now, this is my life. There's probably over 13 medications on there. And so, as I said, I was desiring to end my life. And I don't have time to jump into the entire story, but if you understood the ramifications of me even standing up here, it is because of healing now. It is because of, praise God. Praise God for Daniel Amstead and Andrew Womack. I was sitting on the other side of the camera and I'm flipping through because I had nothing to do all day. I began to see something, and I don't care to go into the whole journey, but Daniel Amstead is so intricate in this journey, you all. That's why I'm so fueled by passion behind this. But as I said, I grew up in religion. And the entire time, the entire year that I'm sitting here going through all of this, I'm dizzy, I can't drive my car anymore. When I came out of the hospital, I was unable to turn my head for at least 3 months. I sat in a chair like this. If my husband talked to me, I had to turn this way. And the whole time I'm watching everyone's life pass by. But the worst part of this is that I thought God was the author of the sickness. I thought that God did this to me. Can I tell you right now, to set the record straight, if you've never heard that God wants you well, he is not the author of sickness and disease. Can he use it? Absolutely. Your father can use anything. He can take water and turn it into a highway. He can take a den and turn it into a place of deliverance and a furnace and bring in a fourth man. But I guarantee you, he's not the author of it. He did not sponsor the sickness. And much of what the church is doing today is that they're selling freedom but delivering bondage. They're saying, God is the one who made you sick, but he maybe can heal you. Listen, I don't even know why the church is preaching on healing when the father never intended for his children to ever get sick. He never intended for it. We're hearing that sickness is our teacher and pain is our perfecter. That is not true. So in the midst of the pain, in the midst of everything that was going on, I heard something that I'm going to share with you. And I believe many of you came here for a healing service. I'm telling you right now, this is not about healing. One of the key ingredients to me manifesting the healing that was already inside of me. Are y'all ready to hear this? We're going to jump into the word of God. Y'all got to get active. And listen, your father is good. I'm telling you all, we cannot become conditioned to this environment where we sit here. You're going to have to get active with this thing and grab a hold and get aggressive. It's your life. You only get one. And I'm telling you all, the assignment the Father has for you, it is time sensitive. I don't have time to be sick. Amen? Praise God. So you all, this is interesting. When you look at, we're going to jump into Deuteronomy chapter 7. I know I got to come here with my scriptures. I know where I'm at, like I said. Let's jump into Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I want to set the table here just for a bit, but in Deuteronomy chapter 7 in verse 15, y'all got your Bibles? Caris Bible College, Andrew Womack Ministries. So the setting here in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15, the children of Israel, they've just come out of bondage. They've just been delivered from the oppression of Pharaoh, and now they're preparing to enter into the promised land. This is powerful because what I came and I said, I started off with this, but I said that Jesus never came to present healing as the goal. He came to establish health as the standard. And there's some keys I'm going to unravel to you today so that you can get a hold of this as well. But he promises the Father, God promises the old covenant servants. Listen to what I'm saying. Under the old covenant, healing was not the standard, health was. So God is promising them three things. He's gone into covenant with them. He's saying, I want you in health, I want you fruitful, and I want to protect you under the old covenant. So you're going to see that under the old, health was conditional, but under the new, health is secure in Christ. Yeah. We have a better covenant. Like I said, I'll jump into it. But let's read Deuteronomy chapter 7 in verse 15. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Now, many times we skim through scriptures, brothers and sisters, and we don't know what this says, but this says the Lord will take away. Hebrew is the original language under the Old Testament. This word take away, it's powerful. It means to turn around, reroute, or redirect. He is telling the unrighteous servant, if sickness comes near you, I will reroute the sickness. How much more for the righteous saint? How much more for his children? These are servants. This is a promise that I'm about to tap into for his children. How many times have you walked up to someone with a sickness and you've turned around from it versus it rerouting itself from you? So many times, and I'm telling you all, it's because we don't know who we are. We're so busy trying to grab a hold of healing, but I'm telling you something right now. Israel's healing was directly connected to their ability to fulfill the Old Testament law. So they were, in a sense, under a performance-based covenant. They were under a covenant, brothers and sisters, of if you do. Can I tell you that we have shifted from if you do to because he did? We are not like the woman with the issue of blood that has to crawl to come in contact with the power. No, the moment I got inside of him, heaven got inside of me, and now I'm here to release heaven. I'm not simply sitting here desiring to get there. We are not like blind Bartimaeus, where we have to shout to get our Father's attention. The scriptures say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, you have been raised to sit with your Father in heavenly places. You don't have to shout to get his attention. You're seated right next to him. He can hear you. And you don't have to bust through a roof in order to be lowered down to receive your healing. The Old Testament saint ceiling became your floor. So now you don't walk towards healing. You should be standing in health. I'm so passionate about this, you all, because I should be dead. Yeah. I should not be here today. Glory. So many times we get so busy consumed watching Christian networks. Listen to me. We are so busy watching Chosen celebrating Moses' wins while we're losing. Listen, I am not amazed at Moses. I am appalled. I'm appalled that a man that had less has been able to do more. The scriptures say in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6 that you have a better covenant established on better promises. Moses is amazed at us. And I'm going to tap into this, but here it is. I said this a minute ago. Healing is not why I'm here. It's because I understood the key of identity. Daniel, we'll probably change these services, identity now, not healing now. I believe we're aiming at the wrong thing, you all. I really do. And so I'm sure some of you are wondering, well, how did you go from the dark room, the pulpit of hell, to the pulpit of the church? Listen, the enemy's plan to come in and destroy my life actually became an exposure to my true purpose and a launching pad to promote the gospel. And some of the things that some of you are going through right now, the symptoms that are attacking your body, the pain that you have, as I said, I've been there. I was even taking all 13 medications. I don't even know why, babe. None of them worked. How many of you are in that situation? You're taking medications and none of them are even working. We're gonna get to work on something that does. This doesn't fail. His word doesn't fail. And I know a lot of you here, you have heard God wants you well. I'm not preaching to a group that is, does God want me well? You know it, but the question that I know that you have is, where is my manifestation? Come on. There's nothing wrong with that question. And I'm going to get into where your manifestation is here in a bit. But understand, you all, that this is not about healing. How did I go from 13 medications a day to now I'm on zero? Come on. Amen. Zero medications, you all. I don't take any medications. How did I go from not being able to walk up my own stairs in my house to now running 10 miles a day? You'll like this one. How was I able to go from the bald head to all of this being my hair? I have more hair than when I started the journey. And that's what your Father will do. He's not into bringing you back to the place that you were. He's going to bring you further, faster. He said in Ephesians 3:20, I want to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Yes, the problem is we can quote it, but do you believe it? I had to get to a place myself where I had to believe his word for myself. And so we're looking here at identity. This is powerful, brothers and sisters. Because many times, as I said, we're aiming at the fruit of healing. We're aiming at this thing. No, what I'm going to endeavor to do today is that I'm going to hit the root. You'll naturally bear the fruit. And that's what took place with me. It's not about, do you know what took place when you got born again? I believe many of you, yeah, you're Charis Bible College students. You probably have your certificate. You've walked across this stage. That means nothing. Some of you have your healing discipleship certificate. It means absolutely nothing if I can't stand on the word of God myself. So the moment you got born again, brothers and sisters, this is not about a label or a title. This is all about a person coming to live on the inside of me. So listen here, the moment I got born again, I got into a person, then I moved into position, therefore I can access my possession. So many times we get so consumed with flirting with all of these faith formulas that we've substituted that for fellowship with the Father and we wonder why we're frustrated. Right. Listen to what I said. We're flirting with faith formulas and we're substituting that for fellowship with the Father. I got into fellowship with the Father 16 hours a day. In the word of God. Am I saying that you need to spend 16 hours a day in the word to manifest what's been purchased? Absolutely not. But I became so obsessed with the person of Jesus. I went from religion to relationship, from doctrine to getting to know my daddy, and all of these principles and practices to getting to know the person of Jesus Christ. This became my life. My husband would come home and crack the door to the dark room, and he would see me with my phone on, with my Bible open, and I'm here reading about the goodness of God. And I'm excited. He starts to see that his wife now has hope. His wife has a little bit of spark in her. And I'm like, babe, did you know that God wants us well? And he's looking at me like, Jesus. Because he also, we grew up the same. We were glorifying God through the sickness. We were bringing glory to him. We were pulling from John 9. We were like Job 121, the Lord give, the Lord take. We were like Job 15:13, though he slay me, yet I trust him. The problem is Job said all that, not God. Job later went on to repent in Job 42:3. This is how much the word of God is in me, you all. So in the midst of me coming out of sickness, I thought everyone would want to hear this good news. We were telling my daughter's principal, who was at a Christian school, God wants you well. God wants us well. We're coming out of this. He said, no. Paul pleaded with the Lord 3 times. And God said his grace is sufficient. And so my husband knows I got aggressive with this thing. Every time someone would come at me with an opposition to the Father loving me, because that's what this is based on. I can guarantee and trust what the Father is going to do for me based off of knowing how much he loves me. If I wouldn't do it to my son or daughter, the Father's not doing it to me. Come on. And so I became aggressive, as I said. If you come at me with something on healing, I have an answer for it. I had to become firm in what I believed because the enemy was sending people. Like I said, my daughter's Christian principal saying, no, you're like Paul. You're like Job. All of you here probably know that we're not, but we're preaching to thousands, millions online that'll watch this that don't know. We're tolerating something that Jesus took. And Daniel said it. Daniel did the foreword to my book. But the question is, for the title of the book, is why are you tolerating sickness? Because so many of us believe that we have to. And so the thing is, as a believer, if you understand your identity in Christ of who lives on the inside of you, you'll never question or have to walk in sickness. You don't even have to live a lifestyle of healing because you'll never be sick. Listen to that. Can you even imagine that? You'll never be sick? Amen. I can. I'm living it right now. I don't get sick. And I mean that. I don't care if it's going on anywhere. It won't touch me. Why? We read Deuteronomy 7:15. It's turning from me. I'm not turning from it. It's going to reroute and redirect itself from me. And so I think that when we look at the world, what's going on, you all, with the world, and we've done it. We're here. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. We're saying here, if you look at what God, the way he describes sickness in the Bible, in the book of Acts, he labels it as oppression. In the book of Job, he calls it captivity. In the book of Deuteronomy, he says that it's a curse. And lastly, in Exodus, he refers to it as bondage. So many times, Isaiah 5:21 says that we're calling good evil and evil good. But as I said, I know that we're firm in this right now. But are how many of you are so busy trying to grab a hold of healing right now? It's not even about your identity. You have no idea who you are. Listen, the enemy wants you to question who you are so that you forfeit what you have and ultimately try to work to get something you already got. We're at a grace school, but you're actually moving into works and religion. Subtly, the enemy has been able to do this. And so if you could truly see who lives on the inside of you, that whenever you were born into this world, you're born with a sin nature, Romans 5:13. Under the old covenant, were they sinners? They had a sin nature. If you read in Ephesians chapter 2, the scriptures say that you are without God, you're without hope, you're a child of the devil, and you're controlled by the prince of this air. That was your condition before you were born again. So in a sense, the Old Testament servants, they were plugged into sickness, but it still didn't touch them. It would not touch them if they dwelt in the secret place of the Most High, it says in Psalm 91. So you've been unplugged from sickness as a believer, plugged into righteousness, shouldn't you be producing health? Yes. Absolutely. I'm causing you to think right now, because as I said, we're over here on a rat wheel talking about healing. What are we doing? Listen, the things that we're settling for, I believe heaven is shocked by. I believe this. I believe that we are sitting here, a majority of us, if not all of us, are believers. I did not come to talk about healing. I came to talk about who you are today. And some of you, you're looking at your husband like, I thought this was a healing service. You're upset. We're getting there. As I said, we're aiming at the root. Yeah. I stopped focusing on healing is what I'm saying. Amen. Amen. I stopped. It wasn't about healing anymore. It was all about me seeing that when I marched into the doctor's office, I'm not walking in. Jesus is walking in. Yeah. That you can't tell me a report that the report of the Lord hasn't already covered, it says in Isaiah 53:1. So I began to sit there on the hospital bed at these doctor's appointments in total peace. So much peace that they wanted to admit me into the psych ward. Talk about peace that passes all understanding in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Are we at that place? It didn't come by me striving for healing, brothers and sisters. I didn't even care about healing. I got to the point that I'm like, wow, I now have access to my Father through one spirit, Ephesians 2:18. I now can approach him with freedom and confidence, Ephesians 3:12. I became so obsessed with this person. And I believe a lot of times as Christians, we're obsessed with the wrong thing. We've become aware of the wrong thing. We're aware that October is Cancer Awareness Month. We got thyroid awareness in December. We got diabetes awareness in March. Listen, the only awareness that the believer needs to awaken to is to who they are in Christ. That's the only thing that we need to become aware about. And so slowly, some of you, I know you're thinking, was it an immediate manifestation? No, I don't even know when I was healed. I don't even know when I was healed. As I said, I began to go into doctor's appointments, totally at peace, just so consumed. I'm in the doctor's office just reading 1 Peter 2:24, which is actually an identity scripture. I know that we talk about it from healing, but it's all about you being the righteousness of God. That righteousness is the doorway to health. That's right. And so I'm telling you all this because I believe there's some of you sitting here, as I said, man, I have been there. You are considering quitting. You have so much pain on your body right now. There's not one thing that you can believe God for. You probably have a surgery scheduled. You've just been diagnosed with something like multiple sclerosis, and you're starting to see yourself sick. Listen, your victory is tied to your vision. See yourself in Christ. And I'm going to show you all something. I love this. The Holy Spirit showed me this. I don't know how many of you speak, but the Holy Spirit will just redirect your whole message before you get up here. And I love it. That's why I said we're welcoming him in today. If you feel a popping in your back, a burning in your knee, get up and act on the word of God. Don't you dare sit here and wait for 3 o'clock for you. No, get up and move. A lot of times we don't act on the word because of fear of man. We're turning to the right or to the left, looking at what the next person is thinking. Yeah. Stop trying to receive validation from a world that crucified a perfect man. I don't care what anyone is doing that's sitting next to me. Yeah. I'm not walking out of here the same way that I walked in. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you all, this grit, this lion that you see in me, it's really Jesus. Come on. I was curled up in a dark room, hopeless. But when I found out, as I said, when I'm going in here, all of heaven's coming in with me. If you look at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53, you could see at Jesus' worst hour that the chief priests and the scribes are coming to arrest him. And he says, do you not think that I could call upon my Father and he will at once put 12 legions of angels at my disposal? 12 legions of angels is 72,000 angels right now if need be. The same Father is with you. Listen, a believer should never go into a hospital to become a patient. We should only be entering in to pull people out. The hospital bed, brothers and sisters, should not be able to contain the body of a believer. I have too much life in me to be sitting here. I want this to become real to y'all. It's real to me. It's real to my husband. He doesn't get sick either. And I want to tell you all that if you have a spouse that is not on board immediately, I want to encourage you. My husband thought I was crazy. He really did. It took him, what, babe, months? It took him some months, and he started ordering a little Kenneth Hagin here, little Kenneth Copeland, Andrew Womack, Daniel Amstead there, sneaking things in the mail. And praise God, I want to encourage you. Do you, your husband, your spouse will come along. Focus on yourself. As I said, you have one life to live. And thank you, babe, for, man, just everything that you've done. You're really such a blessing, such a blessing. So what took place when you got born again? We're going to go into it really quick, and then I'm going to show you something with Jesus that is awesome. But the moment you got born again, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 says that God sent the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. That's what took place. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says that anyone united with the Lord is one spirit. That word one is hes, H-E-I-S. It means it to singular to the exclusion of another. It's been merged. And now 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17 says, as he is, so are you in this world. It's how you are right now. And so the scripture, you all, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away. The old sin nature that gave access to you, that provided sickness, is dead. So many of us are trying to visit graveyards, expecting resurrections, and trying to revive something that's dead. Sickness should not have access to you. And then it says, you now have been made new. You are a new species of being. So I began to renew my mind to that. It had nothing to do with healing. It had everything to do with who I am. Everything to do with who I am. And so get this, Jesus, if you study out Jesus, brothers and sisters, anytime he taught something in the Gospels, he would later go on to demonstrate it. Teach and do. That is what our healing discipleship program is about. You're being a doer of the word. If you look at Acts chapter 8, and I don't have time to go to it, but Philip is down in Samaria, and the scriptures say that he went down to preach Christ unto them. So there's proclamation. Yep. Then it says, when they heard and saw the signs he was performing, the people paid close attention to him, for unpure spirits were coming out and the lame were walking. There's demonstration. The byproduct was that they were filled with great joy. Right. Why am I telling you this? Jesus is going to show you something. His entire earthly ministry, he taught and he did. If he did something, he then set the disciples down to teach them. So we're going to look at this really quick, because I really want to get into the manifestation part. I know that's what a lot of you are itching for. But if you look at Jesus in the Gospels, man, this is so powerful. If you study out John 18, 19, and 20, John 18, he's arrested. John 19, he's crucified. John 20, he raises from the dead. There are some situations that some of you are going to have to rise up out of, and it involves sickness. But how was Jesus able to rise out of the pit of hell? How can we correlate that to a believer rising up out of the wheelchair, to the believer exiting out of multiple sclerosis? How can we apply that? Let's look at Jesus. Here's the key. In John chapter 15, this is the end of Jesus's earthly ministry. Oh, this is powerful. He's coming to the end. And he says here in John 15:5, I believe, I'm the vine, you're the branch. You abide in me, I abide in you, you're gonna bear fruit. What have we been talking about today? Identity. Jesus never reacted to the devil. He always responded to his Father, and I'm going to show you this. But it's all about abiding. So he's teaching his disciples, hey, I'm going away. John 15. We get to John 16, verse 7. He's ushering in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It's powerful. John 16, verse 7. AVL, can you put that up? He said, it's better for you that I go. That word better in Greek is expedient, to your advantage. So he's teaching them two things right here. John 15, remain in me. John 16, ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus is about to get to work and show you, I'm about to do this thing. John 17:1, it says he lifts his eyes up to heaven. John 17:13, he says, Father, I come to you. What is he doing? He's doing exactly what he's teaching you, because very next he said it happens. John 18, he's arrested. John 19, he's crucified. John 20, he was able to rise from the dead. What was Jesus doing before he rose from the dead? He was getting in connection with his Father. Yes. Jesus never reacted to the devil. He only responded to the Father. His power was not in reacting. It was in remaining. And I believe a lot of us here, we know it's God's will, but we're shadow boxing the devil. What do I mean by that? He throws a symptom, by his stripes I'm healed. He throws another symptom, and now you're caught up in this Christian exercise. And you wonder why you're so tired. Listen, if you look at business, it's something called the law of sequence. You could be doing the right thing in the wrong order. You could be doing the right thing in the wrong order. Am I saying not quote the word of God? No, I'm not saying that. But are you doing it from a position of remaining connected? Yes. Are you staying plugged into the vine? This is what Jesus did. Jesus rose from the dead, and he prophesied at least 13 times his crucifixion. He was so confident that his Father was going to raise him from the dead. How many of us are confident that your Father is going to rise you out of this sickness so that you could fulfill the call of God on your life? Amen. There are people that need to know what's on the inside of you. We are a remnant here. Much of the church believes that God is the author. Yeah. We don't have time to be sick church. Amen. We don't. Amen. But I'm saying here, if you look at Jesus with this, this is powerful. Jesus raises from the dead, and he's over here. If you look at this, as I said, it's all about alignment so that he could fulfill his assignment. I got into alignment with our Father. Amen. And now I don't think anyone would question, but I'm fulfilling my assignment. Amen. I am not falling short. As Jesus, as I said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus came with a message of freedom. We should all be going with a message of freedom. And many times we could preach that, but are we living it? Yeah. I'm not here to condemn you, but do you really believe what you're saying? That's something you have to sit with. I remember 7 years ago, it was maybe 6 years ago, my husband and I, we came here. I'm sitting in like the fourth row, and I still have every symptom in my body. We flew here. It was awful getting here. Man, it was so bad. I was nauseous on the plane. I was completely dizzy. I barely made it into the auditorium. And this is amazing because at the end of the service, I believe it was Summer Family Bible Conference. It wasn't even Healing Is Here. And Andrew Womack is standing here, and he says, if you need healing, stand up. If you need to receive your healing, if you need healing, stand up. We'll have prayer ministers available. I sat there. My husband kind of looked down at me. I did not move. And some of you are like, why didn't you go? I'm telling you all, I became so aggressive with wanting to believe the word of God for myself. I didn't want another man to have to lay hands on me, then the next time I get sick, have to find another man. The only man that I needed to find was the person of Jesus Christ. And so I sat there in pain. I flew home in pain. And the whole time I'm in pain, I'm in the Word, learning who I am. I'm discovering my true identity. A year went by, and I finally picked up my son for the first time in his life. Because I got a hold of a scripture. All of the identity scriptures. Your body is the temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Do you not realize Christ Jesus lives in you? 2 Corinthians 13:5. All of these scriptures about the power of God and who he is in me. How dare I not lift my son up with the kingdom of heaven on the inside of me? Glory. I picked him up so boldly, and I haven't stopped picking him up since.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He's 6 years old now.
My God.
AVL, do you have this?
Thank you, Lord.
This is my son that many Christians told me, well, thank God it's you and not him, that we almost have to make a decision for you to be sick and for him to be well. No. No, that's not an option. The Father wants us both well. We're both his children.
Thank you, Lord.
And so, because of the 16 hours a day, because I was so immersed in the Word of God, I was able to birth so much where now I'm just releasing this message to so many people. And as Daniel said, it's just fueled by so much passion because I don't want to see anyone sick. Amen. As I said, I'm not here to talk about healing. Why aren't we in health? I want to tell you all something right now when you're sitting here and you're like, where is my manifestation? Where is the manifestation? I've bind, I've loosed, I've tarried, I've fast. What's going on? Can I tell you something right now that the recipe for your healing, the main ingredient is going to be Holy Spirit? Yeah. And I know a lot of you don't want to hear that. You want 5 steps to walk in health. Yeah. I don't have that book. No. And I'm not going to write it. No. The Holy Spirit is the recipe. He is the main ingredient for you to birth healing. How do I know that? Every single day, the Holy Spirit was downloading into me a plan of action. You could trace this all the way back to the Old Testament. Anytime the Father gave the servants an assignment, he always gave them a strategy. Moses did not march into Egypt with a military. He only went in there with a stutter and a stick. David did not approach Goliath with a sword and a shield. He went at him with a sling and a stone. I'm telling you right now, your plan of action will be different from the person next to you. But what does that require? Relationship. And many of us don't want that. We think that because we've moved to Woodland Park, that we now are in relationship with God. Praise God for your act of obedience, but don't let it stop there. Do not let it stop there. If you study all of the healing journeys, which I'm sure many of you have, look at Mr. Barry Bennett. The prescription that the Lord provided for Mr. Barry Bennett was Romans 8:2. The treatment that he told Audrey Mack was Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Can I tell you right now, we have got to stop trying to hijack another man's revelation and make it our response. We have got to stop flirting with this thing, these faith formulas. And as I said, now we're frustrated and we're wanting to just give up on this thing. No, every day the Holy Spirit said, pick up your child, Narisa. Okay. And when I picked my son up, I had so much pain. Sometimes we don't, yes, immediately. No, I was in pain that day. And probably the next and a week later, I kept picking him up. I kept pressing against the kingdom of darkness. Jesus did not come to cause sickness. He came down to confront it. And I am on the same assignment. I would rather die trusting my Father than die sitting here sick. There's so many times, brothers and sisters, we get so caught up in fear. What can happen if I quit the medication? I am not telling you to quit the medication, but day after day, I think I was on 5 blood pressure pills a day. Get rid of this one. Yes, sir. The next day, I went to take one. I think it fell down the drain. Okay, Holy Spirit, I guess that's you. Yes, sir. It was such a beautiful walk, brothers and sisters, with my Father. And I want to tell you all this, that in the midst of the journey, man, when I look back, I'm like, the intimate time that I had with my Father, that he was so loving and patient with me, because there was times, brothers and sisters, that he would tell me to do something and I was a little bit hesitant. And he was so patient with me. We're gonna try tomorrow. And so I walked out of sickness. The Holy Spirit was holding my hand, walking me out of sickness. Many of us wanna be married to a method, but what about the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said it, I told you all in John chapter 16, it's better for you that I go. Study all the healing journeys, but please do not identify with them in the Gospels. Yeah. They were not born again. That's right. They didn't have the power of God. If you're gonna look in the Gospels, look to the person of Jesus. He is the only righteous one in the Scriptures. Yeah. Yeah. Please do not identify with the woman with the issue of blood. Can you glean from some things? Yes, be aggressive, be tenacious, but you don't have to crawl anywhere. I'm telling you this right now. Jesus said, it's better for you. And in each situation, rise, take up your bed and walk. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And what did they do? They just obeyed. How much more? He sends the Holy Spirit. He is the helper, our comforter. Do not come here and just want to hear from the minister. If the Holy Spirit tells you, hey, I need you to leave right now, let's go get in this car and get it in. Be obedient. I'm not here at Caris Bible College to be like anyone else. I want to have a relationship with the Father myself. At one point, yes, I was glorifying Miss Audrey Mack, Carly Terrades. Praise God for them. Amen. But as I said, don't sit on the bench and lose while other people are winning. What has the Holy Spirit spoken to you today? So many times we're trying to fulfill B-level assignments without walking in A-level instruction. Pay attention to that. There are some things that he has said to you before, and you're wanting him to take you further. I did not magically end up here. I wasn't preaching here and I did not ask for this. I was in the back a year and a half ago putting offering envelopes in a bucket, just loving God that I'm free, that I can hang out with my son, that I could do soccer practice with my daughter. And some of you, you can't even see freedom. I believe that. You don't even know what freedom looks like. Let the Holy Spirit repaint a picture on the inside of you. What could Jesus do? You could do it. Everything that you want to do in your life, you want to feed your children, you want to take care of whatever it is, you want to go on vacations, your vision starts with your victory. Your victory starts with your vision. What are you seeing about yourself? What is it? Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, so is he. And I'm just dropping some bombs right here, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, what is he quickened to you today? What has he told you today? Is there one thing that you never could see yourself doing? It hurts to walk. Well, wiggle your toe. It hurts to run. I can't come upstairs. Step up one. It's one step closer to victory. So many times we're trying to get, I did not end up in victory in a day. Maybe 6 months. I'm not sure. I don't care. I'm free. But if you walk away from anything from me today, what is it that the Holy Spirit wants to quicken to you? What has he said to you? You should have a reputation in hell, brothers and sisters. But we're kind of sitting back. We're on defense. What are we doing? Jesus would touch lepers. As I said, he came down to confront sickness, not cause it. He knew that it would reroute or redirect itself from him. Two reasons that Jesus was able to do that. He was sinless. So are you. 1 John 3:9. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So he was able to go about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. In Acts 1:8, the scriptures say that whenever you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you have received power. That word receive in Greek, it means ownership. That word power is dunamis in Greek, and it means miraculous power. So you have received miraculous power. You're an owner of miraculous power. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with this? Time goes by fast up here, Daniel. I could do this, y'all, for hours. There's someone in here right now. There's something going on with your stomach, your esophagus. There is something going on with your stomach. You are in discomfort. There is some pain. If that is you, I want you to stand up. And remember how I started with this. We are not here. We will have prayer ministers available. But we want to be doers of the word. If that is you, praise God. If there is anyone else, there's at least four of you in here. There's four of you right now in here. Thank you, Jesus. So what's happening here, brothers and sisters, I'm sensitive to my Father. I'm not coming up here to get you fired up on Wednesday and you go out and get burnt on Thursday. There is something, the Holy Spirit right now, take advantage of this. Some of you have migraine headaches right now. You can't even focus in class. You can't even go to work. You're driving up the mountain and it's bothering you. Where are you? It's affecting your vision. Stand up. Stand up. There is someone online. There is something going on with you. With your legs, your ankles right now. I'm telling you right now in Jesus' name, get up and walk. At the sound of my voice, get up and walk right now. There's someone in this auditorium. There's something going on with the lower part of your back. Your bones are rubbing together. There is something going on. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm coming down. If you're standing up, I want you to come forward. You can come forward right now. And we're not going to be shy about what the Father has already provided. I was up at 3 a.m. meditating on this. And I want to say this. There are some of us caught up in so much offense right now. You've put up a fence from the healing that's already flowing in you from going. If there is someone that comes to mind as I'm speaking about this, I want you to come forth. I need you to release them, to let them go, because you have an assignment that you need to fulfill. That if there is someone on your heart that if I were to call their name, you get angry. There was a betrayal. There was a hurt. I'm telling you right now, Jesus said, Father, forgive them in Luke 23:34, for they know not what they do. Do not allow offense to cripple you. Do not allow offense to cripple you and hinder you from fulfilling the call of God of your life. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, the Father loves y'all. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is someone in here. There is a prostate. Something is going on with your prostate. Something, and you may not be willing to come up here. I'm telling you right now, you should move. You should come up. As I said, we're not flirting with this thing. Let's get to business so that you can love your family. You could go to work. You could be the man of God that he's called you to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You all can stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, brother, I'm going to pray for you, okay? You be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, you be free. What's going on? Mm-hmm. Dave, you put your hand on his back. Back, you be healed in the name of Jesus right now. You function and work in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. What's going on, sweetie?
Burning in my low back and the muscles in my glutes.
Amen. Back, you be healed in the name of Jesus. You bend down, sweetheart. You bend down. You squat down. You move in the name of Jesus. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free. Do what you couldn't do before. What's going on, brother?
Mine's the back.
The back. I just speak life over every back that is down here in the name of Jesus. You squat down and you bend muscles, you work in Jesus' name. Nerves, you function in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Do something you couldn't do before. If you couldn't go upstairs, feel free to go up the stairs. Stomach, you be healed in Jesus' name. Esophagus, you function in the name of Jesus. We command no pain to return in Jesus' name. Brother Scott, you be free. You walk in health. You eat perfectly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What's going on, sweetie? What's going on, baby?
Knees, meniscus,
in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Knees, you be healed. Be strong in the name of Jesus. Function in Jesus' name right now. Thank you, Father. You work on it. Act on it. Act on the word of God. What's going on, sweetie?
The digestive.
Oh, stomach, you be healed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, this stomach can eat freely in Jesus' name. You be whole right now. Any pain, we command you to go. Any dysfunction, discomfort, get off of her in Jesus' name. Be free in the name of Jesus.
Prostate.
Thank you, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. It's you. Be free. That's from the Father. You be free in Jesus' name. Be free from that in the name of Jesus. Any discomfort right now, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. We cast it out. Be whole in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. What's going on, sweetie? Be whole in Jesus' name. Be free. It's keeping you bound. Be free.
Thank you, Jesus.
What's going on, sweetie?
Broken titanium. Three broken screws in the bone.
Do you have screws in you right now? Right here. Oh, Ricky. Screws, we just rebuke this in Jesus' name. I cancel. You evaporate in the name of Jesus. Throat, you function perfectly in Jesus' name. You swallow perfect. You breathe perfect in the name of Jesus right now. You be free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. What's going on, sweetie? Oh, we just release you right now in Jesus' name. We release you. Any past memories, any hurt in Jesus' name. Be free, sister, in Jesus' name. Yes, sister.
My sphincter, gastrointestinal reflex, my sphincter does not open and close properly, and it keeps giving me gastric in my
Behold, in Jesus' name.
And I cannot even talk fully.
Mouth, you open
fully.
In Jesus' name. You work, you function, you speak. You speak as the very oracles of God right now in the name of Jesus. Mouth, you open in Jesus' name. Be free, sister. What is it, sister? What is it, baby?
Digestion, generally.
Digestion.
Also, like, I've been releasing the last 2 weeks. Like, just heard from past.
Oh, sister. You be free. Thank you, Father. Any memories that are holding you bound, we replace those with truth in Jesus' name. Every part of this body we release right now in the name of Jesus. You be whole from the crown of your head to the very soles of your feet. You have a life to live. You have freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus. We speak that over you in Jesus' name. Stomach, you be whole. Food, you go down in the name of Jesus. You go down perfect in Jesus' name. You function properly. You rest at night in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You eat freely. You do what you need to do.
Stroke.
Yeah. Every symptom right now at the sound of my voice from this stroke, you bow the knee to the name of Jesus. Anything that has come to destroy this body, we loose it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that there is freedom taking place in the name of Jesus. Things that are tight are being loose. Muscles that were tight, we're calling you right now to function in Jesus' name. We're calling complete restoration in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Praying you think perfectly in the name of Jesus. You have the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. What's going on, John? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Eyes you see perfect in Jesus' name. 20/20 vision right now in Jesus' name. Right now in the name of Jesus, you see perfect. Prostate, you function in Jesus' name. You function in the name of Jesus. John, you walk whole. Do something you couldn't do before. What is it, brother? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I command from the top of your head to the soles of your feet that this body is functioning perfect. The Lord has something special for you, John. Something that he needs you to do, Norman. Something that he needs you to fulfill. So we speak life, wholeness in Jesus' name, strength in Jesus' name. Bend down, work in Jesus' name. Body, you function in the name of Jesus. Miss Lisa. Mm-hmm. Oh, we command you right now in the name of Jesus to close up. We command these ears to heal in Jesus' name. Ears, you function in the name of Jesus. You hear right now at the sound of my voice in Jesus' name. Open up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. What is it, brother? What's going on, brother?
My prostate and my right knee.
Thank you, Father. Knee, we speak strength into you right now. We speak strength into you in the name of Jesus. You've been perfect. You work. You go upstairs. You run. Prostate, I command you to be whole in Jesus' name. You function in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Do something you couldn't do before on that knee, brother. You're healed. Name is Nancy.
Hemorrhoids and skin cancer.
Thank you, Father. Skin, I just command you right now to be whole in Jesus' name. I command wholeness over you in Jesus' name. You are strong. You are full of life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much, Jesus. Be whole in Jesus' name. No irritation, no disruption on this skin. Walk in health. Miss Nancy, you have a compassion over you that people need to hear. People need to hear the compassion that's on the inside of you. Hey, William. What's going on, William? What's going on, brother?
Type 1 diabetes and all the scars that I've covered my body from.
We just rebuke those scars. We call them whole in Jesus' name. Diabetes, you go back to the pit of hell in Jesus' name.
Yes.
You go back to the pit in the name of Jesus. You have a life to live, young man, free of sickness and disease. Thank you, Father. Be healed in Jesus' name. Behold, you bend down, move what you couldn't do before. Do something you couldn't do in this mirror. Praise God. Fibromyalgia, we command you to go in the name of Jesus right now. Every dysfunction, everything that is attacking this body right now, I command strength into you in Jesus' name. I speak strength and life in Jesus' name. Do something you couldn't do before. Hey, baby. Okay. Always in pain. Well, we speak a level 10 of health over you in Jesus' name. We rebuke a level 10 in the name of Jesus. We speak wholeness over you in Jesus' name. Pain, you get off of her. We speak strength and life into you, that you lay down and you sleep sweet. that you go to bed at rest and you wake up strong in Jesus' name. Sister, you do something you couldn't do before.
Yes.
Hey, sister, what's going on? Parkinson's. Parkinson's, we speak to you right now in the name of Jesus. Eyes you open in Jesus' name. We speak wholeness over you in Jesus' name. The life of God is flowing through you right now, through every vein, every nerve, every cell, every tissue, every organ right now. You are not staying like this. In Jesus' name, I want you to be free. I want you to walk. I want you to move. Do something you couldn't do before. If you couldn't run, you run. You be free. You act on the word of God. There is so much life on the inside of you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. The word of God is working in you, sister. You're not staying like this. That's from your father, not from me. You're not staying like this in pain. Level 10 pain. No, you're level health. Level 10 health. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Do something you couldn't do. Hey, sister. Thank you, Jesus. What you got, baby?
Blood disorder that attacks my nervous system and my gut.
Oh, praise God. Nervous system, we speak to you in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus right now. I command you to be whole. Any burning or tingling, you stop right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are calm in Jesus' name. Every part of your nervous system functions in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Osteoporosis.
Osteoporosis, we rebuke you right now in Jesus' name. Are you in pain right now?
No
pain. What can't you do?
Osteoporosis,
lower back. Just speak strength into this back right now in Jesus' name. I call wholeness to you in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and walk up those stairs. Mr. Andrew Womack won't care. You go up those stairs, sweetie.
Just put a sword on my head. Yeah. Just
thank you, Father. Is it hurt right now? You in pain? I speak life into your back of your head in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that strength is taking place right now in Jesus' name. You bend your head. You bend your neck. You move around. Be free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for wholeness.
Thank you.
If you couldn't bend your neck down all the way before, brother, you're healed.
You.
In Jesus' name, do something you couldn't do.
I fell here, and 12 days it's been a painful
mm-hmm.
right here on the side.
Yeah. You in pain right now?
Yes.
How much?
Well, right now, if I'm standing, I'm okay, but if I'm lying down and doing anything.
I'm lying down.
Yeah.
So we just speak life right now into this body in the name
yes.
of Jesus. You sleep perfect. There is no pain. Trouble will not come back a second time. There is life taking place on the inside of you. The life of God is flowing from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. We rebuke
Amen.
Pain in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Hey, baby.
Migraines.
Okay. Migraines, we curse you in Jesus' name. Can you see, sweetie? Does it hurt your vision?
Mm.
Is your vision good?
It's good, but it's like gets like blackouts.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes. We rebuke blackouts in Jesus' name. I speak right now, every part of this brain be whole in Jesus' name. This is the mind of Christ and you function like it is. In Jesus' name, I speak soundness over you in Jesus' name. Any symptoms coming from these migraines, we just rebuke you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Jesus. No more migraines, no more. You have a anointing for the youth. You will impact the youth, a ministry that will impact young girls, sister. And I declare it's not going to be with migraines.
Yeah.
Be free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah.